This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. An issue that may make it on this year's ballot is one that addresses term limits. According to a report from Talk Business and Politics, if the amendment passes, it could lead to an 80% turnover in the state legislature. Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business and Politics asked John Brummett, a political writer for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, about the potential impact of the amendment in their weekly conversation.
Will the sky fall? Did it fall before? No. Term limits, I've lived through the old legislature where the guys were there forever. I've lived through the very restrictive term limits when it was what we may go back to, which is two Senate terms and three House terms. And then I've lived under this sort of hybrid combination that we accidentally got into with an amendment to the Ethics Amendment two or 4 years ago.
Whenever. You've seen it all.
May I be candid about this?
You may, yes.
Our legislature, even whether strictly term limited or unterm limited at all, is largely inhabited by people who are being herded. They're just sheep who come down to Little Rock. They just are. The key, basically, is that you have quality, pragmatic leadership that understands the details and the technicalities, because most of the folks sitting out there are just going, explain this thing to me. I'm down here to cast some conservative votes and go home. They don't have the command, and they need.
I've got my pet project issues important.
Bill Stovall, your expert for this analysis, mm-hmm. was a strict term limited era Speaker of the House, who came in as kind of a savant who understood the state budget instantly, and everybody just sort of sat back and said, "Bill, we're going to elect you Speaker, and you do that for us." Yeah. We have been fortunate in the term limits era to have had a very good, pragmatic, center-right, but pragmatic legislative leadership. House David Carter, Gillum, now Shepard, Dismang in the Senate, and now Jim Hendren, and then the new leadership, I mentioned Shepard. So that's the important thing. What concerns me is when we get to the point where some of the extremist, lesser-informed people achieve leadership roles, and you get real ideological and dogmatic about trying to make government work. The other factor is a good governor who's right for the occasion, and we've had good government technicians, BB, of course, and Ace Hutchinson has been very pragmatic in the way he's governed. Brief story, sure. I'll tell you how it works. Two sessions ago, all these sessions start running together when you get as old as I am. The big deal is, let's pass a religious rights bill to answer the emerging gay rights. Remember that?
Yes.
And they passed a bill, and it was pretty anti-gay, pretty much to one way. And I go down to the governor's office, and it's a big deal because Ace Hutchinson has called a news conference to say what he's going to do about it. And to my surprise and delight, he said, "Really, this one goes too far. All I want us to do is establish this religious right and protect it, but we've gone far beyond the federal law, which was passed during Clinton's time, which is fine. I have asked the legislative leadership to take it back and amend it to conform to federal law. I think that will be fine." And the legislative leadership has agreed. Now, this was like in the last week of the session.
It was very late. It was about 3 days after Indiana.
So here's what we got,
with Mike Mike Pence as governor.
So here's what we got so far. The governor is saying, no, this one's too extreme. Let's do something more pragmatic. He was able to say, the head of the Senate, the head of the House, agree they're going to take it back. So you've got the pragmatic, let's make this thing work in sort of a moderate way. And that's how, and the membership had nothing to do with it. It was the governor asked the leadership, and they sort of, I don't want to say dictated, but largely do. On my way out of the Capitol, in the lobby downstairs, I see two legislators whose names I think I know, but I'm not sure. And I hear their conversation, and one says to the other, "Well, Governor, we're going to have to stay another day, I think. Something about the governor wants us to change that gay bill." And the other one said, "I hadn't heard that." Okay, this is term limits era. You got two garden variety legislators downstairs just saying, "Well, we're going to have to stay." They don't really have anything to do with it other than to be passive recipients of the more pragmatic policy. As long as that works, as long as the leaders are good, pragmatic and can work together, then the garden variety legislative service can be like jury duty, you know, basically, with, right. if you got a good foreman. So that's the sky is not necessarily falling by this great turnover. It depends on the leadership. It depends on who's the governor post Hutchison. Griffin, Rutledge, are they more to the right, more ideological, or is that simply because they're not facing responsibility?
Or do the Democrats make a comeback?
So those are more important issues, I think.
Which leads me to my next question, and that is a deeper dive into your Sunday column. Arkansas Democrats have their convention coming later this weekend. They are bringing Stacey Abrams, mm-hmm. the Georgia Democratic gubernatorial nominee, to town, as well as Steve Bullock, the Montana governor to the state. Two different kinds of Democrats. Does the Democratic Party have to be one or the other in Arkansas?
Well, it needs to be both. The question is, can it be both? And I think this is kind of a seminal summer gathering of the Arkansas Democrats, because for forever, since the 80s, the Arkansas Democratic Party has been Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton's party. And I started making fun of them about 6 years ago. Whenever they needed an event, whenever they wanted a rally, whenever they wanted a state convention speaker in a crowd, all they knew to do was wind up Bill or Hillary or bring them back. And I think the Arkansas Democrats finally got the message in the last election, that's not doing us any good. And we are seeing this year a new type of Democratic Party, a post-Clinton Democratic Party, with new blood, Jared Henderson, Clark Tucker, smart young people. But the party itself, given the opportunity to assemble a summer gathering, has I think they're trying to check all their boxes. Mm-hmm. And on Thursday night, Stacey Abrams, who's a rather unabashed liberal, could well be. I mean, I got to call tomorrow. Georgia is a great place to look at the American political condition right now, because Georgia is a state from Atlanta outward that's changing demographically. And it was a 6-point race in the presidential race, a 51-45. It's on the verge of becoming kind of purple rather than red.
And a lot of suburban aspects there that are what we're seeing are very purple and swing districts.
Yeah, suburban areas, particularly suburban women, are one of the groups most averse to Trump, and you see them as a key factor in the Democratic. So she's coming, and she has a great personal story, and she's could be the first African American woman governor in the country. It's conceivable, because she's has the benefit of kind of a extreme conservative, polarizing opponent. She's coming Thursday night, and then for the Clinton dinner on Saturday night, there's this guy Steve Bullock. I called him in the paper sort of the Mike Beebe of Montana. He's a Democrat who gets elected. He got elected by 3 or 4 points in 2016 when Trump was carrying his state by 21 points. But he's not as centrist or as Beebe. He's strong on gay rights. He's managed to get Medicaid expansion done out there. And a lot of people are of the opinion, share my view, that this identity politics and base obsession with the base of the National Democratic Party and this Democratic Socialist Movement, as it's being called, all that can't be the whole party. That's an element of it, but that can't be the whole party. There had the Democrats to really compete again and to beat Trump. I think they have to have some fashion by which they appeal to the central and mountain time zones, which they haven't. And I think just giving that away means they have to draw to an inside straight to win, and you can't always draw to an inside straight. So Bullock is getting some look. Here's a 52-year-old Columbia Law School educated Montanan, former attorney general, who's having some success out in an overpowering Trump state, and he's going to New Hampshire later this month, so he's thinking about running. His best buddy in Arkansas is his former Attorney General colleague, Dustin McDaniel, mm-hmm. who's helped bring him here. So my interest is my analysis is that this week, in my view, we see the Arkansas Democratic Party severing ties to the Clinton obsession and saying we've got to be something new. And what they obviously are trying to do is be more than one thing. They want to lock down base voters. They want to find a way to showcase a guy who's got who has appeal to in a Trump environment. So they're not going to win many races this year. I'm not giving them a whole lot of chances. I'm just telling you, if you look at seminal moments, change moments, this is one for the Arkansas Democratic Party.
Could be a few cycles before we see it play out.
That was Roby Brock with our content partner, Talk Business and Politics, speaking with John Brummett, a political writer for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. You can find out more about their discussion at talkbusiness.net.